You know what? I love my job. Such a good, good time every Saturday. And I'm glad you're with us. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Heard every Saturday here between 1 and 5 on Joy 1250. Coming up, Nikki Gumbel. What a name. What an infamous name. What a program. This thing has become a worldwide phenomenon. And very appreciative of the time that Nikki is about to give us. Nikki, I hope the Canadians are treating you fairly decently up here. Are they trying to get you to Tim Hortons a lot?
We're really enjoying our time in Canada. You're such a wonderful, friendly group of people, and you made us feel very, very at home here.
We are warm, we are friendly, but your tea is a lot better than our tea, I got to admit.
Well, I haven't tried your tea yet.
You're not game for that yet, are you? No, that's right. What brings you to Toronto? Why are you here?
We're in the middle of a two-day conference, but we've been doing a series of events, meeting with various people right across Canada, and we've had a great time.
You know, when I hear your accent, the first person I think about is Charles Price, who's a fellow Torontonian now. Have you had much to do with Charles?
Yeah. Yeah, I know Charles, yes.
Get together and have a cup of tea every once in a while, do you? And play some chess? And
we've met from time to time.
Okay. Now, listen, this alpha phenomena, I mean, that is the right word for it. It has just grown to be a massive thing. But there's got to be downsides to a ministry that grows into a phenomena, right? There has to be.
Well, it's been an extraordinary blessing, really. We've just watched in astonishment as it's really just giving people an opportunity to explore the meaning of life and many people coming to faith in Christ through it. And it's spread now to 32,000 churches in 160 countries, 55 languages, 7 million people have done it. And we've just watched in astonishment as it's taken place.
Why do you think that that Alpha has been accepted by so many non-evangelical denominations?
Well, as you say, it's been extraordinary. It's spread to the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, all the different parts of the church around the world. And I think it's because on Alpha we look at the things that we're all agreed about. And what unites us, what is at the heart of the Christian faith, is infinitely greater than the things that divide us. And when we concentrate on those things, then people outside of the church are interested.
Very well said. Nikki Gumbel on the phone with us, of course, the founder of Alpha, the Alpha Course. Nikki, when did your spiritual journey really begin?
Well, I wasn't brought up as a Christian. My father was Jewish. He was a German Jew. My mother was a non-practicing Anglican. So I didn't have a Christian background. But I came to faith in Christ when I was at my first year at university, really through reading the New Testament. And it had a ring of truth about it, and I knew that I had a choice. And at that moment, I said yes to Christ, and I found really what I'd been searching for all my life. Without realizing it, there'd been a sort of emptiness beforehand. I wasn't really living the day. And I found in a relationship with God through Christ the very purpose for which we're made, which is to know God, our Creator, and to have a relationship with Him.
Did you ever have a time where you doubted massively after your initial surrender to Christ? Was there ever a season of dryness to such a point where you said, is this really what I think it is?
I think we all go through times of dryness and dark, what sometimes been referred to as the dark night of the soul, when God seems far away. And, you know, doubt is the reverse side of faith. If it wasn't for doubt, we couldn't have faith. Because if there wasn't for doubt, it would be certainty. And certainty is not faith. Faith is believing in someone that we can't actually see. And that, of course, leaves room for doubt.
So is that a yes or a no?
No, there have been times of struggle, times of difficulty, times when yes, you feel like God is a long way away and your prayers don't seem to be answered and there are times of struggle and difficulty. Yes, that's true.
What would you say would be the greatest hurt that you've had to process over the years having been a follower of Christ?
The greatest hurt?
Yeah.
Well, when my closest friend, one of my very closest friends, died. I was playing a game of squash with him and he dropped dead of a heart attack in front of me.
Oh, gee.
He was 42 years of age and had 6 children. I loved him. I brought him to Christ. He was one of my closest friends. Effectively his children became my children. We're just about to go on holiday and we're going on holiday with his wife and children. That was now 9 years ago. And I still miss him very deeply. I pray that he wouldn't die of the heart attack that he had. And he didn't recover. And I think that was when I was referring to the sort of dark night of the soul. That was what followed was, why did you let him die? He was the church warden of our church. He was the most wonderful man. He has been an inspiration to me. And I miss him all the time. I don't think I'll ever know in this life. And I remember going out for a walk on the beach the following morning, 5 o'clock, obviously I couldn't sleep, and saying to God, I just do not understand why you let this happen, but I'm going to go on believing in spite of it. And that is, I think, what faith is. You have to go on believing, even though sometimes things happen in our lives which we can't understand in this life, the reason why they happened.
Very well said, and those are the crux times. They really are the times that... Well, I say push us forward immensely.
Yeah.
Now, I want to hear about your family. I don't know a thing about you. Married, children? Tell us about yourself.
I have a wonderful wife called Pippa. We've been married for 27 and a half years.
Your wife is called Pepper?
Pip. Well, it's very hard for the North Americans to say. It's spelled P-I-P-P-A. It's
Pippa.
It's a female version of Philippa.
Got it.
But certainly in the United States, they tend to call her Pepper, but it's actually Pippa.
Okay.
That's my wife. We've been married for 27 and a half years, and we have 3 children. My eldest son is 25. He's qualified as a barrister, but he's actually working for a hedge fund at the moment.
Oh, okay.
My second son has just finished at Oxford. He's been reading theology there. And I have a daughter who's at fashion school in Milan.
A daughter who's in fashion school in Milan?
Yeah, she's age 20.
She's a bit of a glamour girl, is she?
She's quite a character.
When you have the 3 kids, you have much better odds of having a child who's just nuts, absolutely crazy. We have one of those in our family, actually.
How many children have you got?
We have, my wife says we have 3, one of each, but but yes, we have a son, 16, and a daughter who's almost 13,
great.
They are quite pleasurable, for sure. Now, listen, which denomination has been the most reluctant to get on board with Alpha?
I can't think of a denomination that has been. I mean, the Catholics is probably fastest growing. Our own church is the Anglican Church, and it's very, a huge number of Anglican churches, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Salvation Army. I didn't know of any. Now, the Orthodox Church has, probably they're the latest one. But certainly in the Russian Orthodox Church now it's starting to happen, and the Coptic Orthodox Church. We just get more and more astonished every time we hear of a new part of the church that seems to be saying, we love this. This is what we're just more and more astonished by it.
Nikki, how do you respond to someone who says that Alpha promotes an ecumenism that promotes unity despite irreconcilable differences between Protestant and Catholic doctrines?
Well, what we're about is evangelism. We're about bringing the good news of Jesus to people who are outside of the church. And that's the aim. And a byproduct is that unity comes from that, because once you start doing that, you know that people outside of the church say, look, if you're fighting each other, we're not interested. And therefore you work together. But that's not the goal. The goal is to reach people outside the church. The byproduct that we have found, we wouldn't go out looking for unity, but we found that unity has come about as a result of trying to reach people outside of the church with the good news of Jesus Christ. Renewal comes that way as well, because when you need to do it, you need to be full of the Holy Spirit if you're going to reach people outside of the church. So renewal and unity are byproducts, but the main aim has to be fulfill Jesus' command, which is to go and make disciples of people outside of the church. So Alpha is all about reaching people who are not Christians, people who don't go to church, with the good news about Jesus.
So again, that same person may say to you, okay, so there was no real need for the Protestant Reformation?
The Protestant Reformation brought great blessing, and the Roman Catholic Church now recognize that. I had a Roman Catholic speaker, a wonderful Roman Catholic speaker, quoting Luther with approval and saying it was the blessing that Luther brought. And the Roman Catholic Church itself has changed enormously.
Sure.
In the hundreds of years since then. And I don't think we should make judgments about what happened necessarily hundreds of years ago. I mean, the Protestants have also done some things hundreds of years ago which we're no longer very proud of.
That's right.
And I think we have to take people as they are now rather than as they were hundreds of years ago.
Well said.
And we know many very remarkable Catholic people who love Jesus Christ and are inspirations to us. And I think there are things that I have learned from Roman Catholics, and I think there are things that I will learn now that we're beginning to have so much interaction with the Orthodox Church.
Mm.
I think that picture, you know, that St. Paul paints in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is true not just of the local church, but of the global church. We shouldn't look at other people and say, what's wrong with them?
Mm.
We should say, what can we learn from them? Well, the hand needs the foot, the eye needs the ear. We need one another. And each part of the body of Christ has something to offer. And we should try and learn from one another, work together, and then we will present something beautiful to the world.
On the phone with Nikki Gumbel, who is in Toronto. He, of course, is the founder of the Alpha Course. Nikki, if you weren't doing what you're doing now, what else would you be doing?
Well, I was a lawyer before I did what I was doing, and I loved my job as a barrister in England. And if I get thrown out of the job I'm doing at the moment, I'd like to go back to being a barrister.
Now, the two things that the people tend to kind of bring up, those who are in the camp of saying, you know what, I'm not that impressed with Alpha, they would say the ecumenical aspect might be a thorn in someone's side. The other side of it is the Holy Spirit side, or the what they would say is the overemphasis on the Holy Spirit. You seem to treat conversion as a preliminary to the main event, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do you respond to that?
Well, conversion we see as involving repentance and faith and receiving the Holy Spirit. And these are all integral to coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we teach about repentance, about faith, and about receiving the Holy Spirit. You know, we're trying to get a balance between these great moments in the life of the church. If you take the great festivals that we celebrate Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, that God came to earth in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. At Easter, we celebrate the cross and the resurrection. At Pentecost, we celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit. Now, all these are vital aspects of the Christian life, the incarnation, the cross and resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're trying to get a balance. Now, of course, nothing's perfect. Alpha's not perfect. We're bound to get things wrong, and we try and learn from those who criticize us, and we try to get things right. But what we're trying to do is get that balance between the incarnation, cross and resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
So, Nikki, what would be your connection, because we're in Toronto here, what would be your connection in history with the Toronto blessing?
We talk about the blessing of Pentecost. We don't talk about, there's no other blessing. The blessing is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which continues in the life of the church in many different parts of the world. And we, every time we pray that prayer, which we do on every Alpha course, on the weekend, come Holy Spirit. It's the blessing of Pentecost that we experience.
But your church in England, I think, sort of got the Toronto blessing. Wasn't that when Eleanor Mumford of Southwest London Vineyard kind of brought the Toronto blessing from the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church in Canada to HTB?
That's not how we see things.
No.
We've always prayed this prayer, come Holy Spirit. Because that's the most ancient prayer of the church. The Alpha Course has been running since 1977. And the course in its present form, I took it on in 1990.
Hmm.
And the course, Questions of Life, which is the syllabus of the course, was written in 1992 and published in 1993, before any of the things that you're referring to were even heard of.
Right.
And the course has not changed one dot or iota since then. Certainly in that regard. I mean, it's developing in other ways as we learn from different things, but the weekend on the Holy Spirit has not changed at all. We've always prayed this prayer, come Holy Spirit. We still continue to pray it. There have been times, of course, where we've seen a greater response, but I never think that we're responsible for the response.
No.
We're only responsible for the prayer. And that's why every time we pray that prayer, sometimes we see a greater response, and there have been times in our history where we've seen a much greater response to that prayer than at other times.
That's an interesting quote you said there, we're not responsible for the response. I'd not thought of that, actually. I'm processing that right now as you just said it. And especially just with this quote that I came across, talking about Ellie was just dying to pray for us all back in England. She said, Now we'll invite the Holy Spirit to come. And the moment she said that, one of the people there was thrown literally across the room and was lying on the floor just howling and laughing, making the most incredible noise. I experienced the power of the Spirit in a way I hadn't experienced for years, like massive electricity going through my body. One of the guys was prophesying. He was just lying there prophesying. Now you take that quote from you and put that in with, we're not responsible for the reaction, I think is what you said.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I think our duty is to be open to the Holy Spirit, to pray that prayer, come Holy Spirit. And that means, but I don't feel, I can't take, we've been at this conference, we've heard amazing stories, testimony after testimony, of people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
On a Holy Spirit weekend somewhere here in Canada, maybe were marriages were dead or dried up, and the Holy Spirit has transformed their marriage. Others were in prison. They've come to Christ. They've been set free from a life of crime. Others, a life of addiction to alcohol or to drugs. Now, no human being can take the credit for that.
Mm.
Someone prayed the prayer. So they gave their lives to Christ. Someone prayed for them to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them and transformed them. No one can take the credit for that.
But equally,
no one can take the. You know, it's entirely God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to give people the opportunity to hear the gospel and to pray for them to be filled with the Spirit.
Sure.
What happens after them is a matter for God, for the Holy Spirit, for what Jesus does in their life.
Well, I appreciate your patience with me, Nikki, because I'm working through this myself on a personal level.
Right.
And you're a gentleman I wanted to ask these hard questions
yeah.
of. And
yeah.
the 1 John 4:3. Do we not need to test the spirits?
Of course you need to test. You must test it. And you know what the test is? Jesus gave us the test. By their fruits.
Right.
You need to look at the fruit. You need to look at the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of the people who have experienced this. And I look around at our church and we see the people involved in the prison ministry, the people involved with ministry with the poor, the people who are concerned about making poverty history in Africa and other parts of the world, people who have a passion to make a difference to babies born with AIDS or into families with AIDS, people who are passionate about these things, and you see the fruit of it in their ministry.
Hmm.
And that's the key. You have to look at the fruit. What is happening?
But as far as the decorum of worship, you know, the things that happen. I mean, I had John Arden on the show a number of months back.
Right.
And I said to John, you are the nicest guy, the weirdest church I know. You know, and he is. He is just such an unbelievable guy. And yet there's been so much controversy surrounding the Toronto Blessing and the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship everyone says the barking or the howling or whatever and that sort of thing. When you talk about decorum of worship described in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, is there a responsibility for the leadership to say, now hold on a second here?
I think, you know, our responsibility is to look for the fruit of it.
Right.
I personally think the manifestations are almost completely irrelevant. You know, it's like when you fall in love, you may have physical manifestations. You might have shivering in your spine, or your heart might thump louder. But it would be crazy to say, oh, wow, you know, I've got these thumping in my heart, or this shivering in my spine. I wonder whether I can read a book on shivering in the spine or thumping heart.
Yeah, but Nick,
these things.
When I fell in love with my wife, I never barked like a dog, though, you know.
But you're shivering in the spine or you're thumping in your heart. These are physical manifestations.
Right.
But you would not go pursuing the physical manifestations or reading books on the physical manifestations. What you would do is pursue that person. And what we must pursue is the relationship with God, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And I think we mustn't get caught up on all the sort of physical manifestations. They're almost, if they're there, that's one thing. If they're not there, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
What matters is the relationship with God, with Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And we must pursue these and not get too sort of sidetracked in endless discussions about things which are totally secondary.
Well, the Holy Spirit weekend is a big part of the Alpha Course. And,
Absolutely, and
a lot of stories have come, testimonials have come as a result of that. I mean, but, you know, I hate to sound like a pessimistic jerk. Jim Jones had a lot of testimonials kind of happen, you know, Captain Kool-Aid down there in Guyana. So is it true, though, that I guess I need to know this. Is it true that I read somewhere that the retreat is now a part of Alpha copyright and thus illegal to run the Alpha course without doing it?
I think that's a caricature of a position. What we've said is we want, now there are 32,000 churches running Alpha around the world.
Right.
A lot of people come on an Alpha course, they come to faith in Jesus Christ, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they get really excited about their relationship with Christ, and they say to their friends, look, why didn't you go on an Alpha course? And they recommend their friends to one of these 32,000 churches around the world. And what happened started to happen was that some churches were not running Alpha at all, but were calling it Alpha. And their friends were going on the course, and they were coming away really disappointed. They said, you told me that this is what happened on a course. You told us that we'd hear about Jesus and that there'd be a weekend on the Holy Spirit. We went to this church, and it was completely different.
Mm.
So all we've said to churches is, of course you can run any course you like. We can't control what course you run. But if you're going to call it an Alpha course, please, could you run an Alpha course so that people don't recommend their friends to go on a course and get disappointed by turning up and finding it's not really an Alpha course.
Mm.
So we don't prescribe what exactly that means, but it needs to retain the essential character of an Alpha course.
Hmm. Okay, no, I understand. Then that makes sense. I mean, you can't control everything that goes on out there.
You can't.
And unfortunately, Nikki, you're going to get whether you like it or not, you're going to get the blame for a lot of stuff that's got nothing to do with you or the original material, etc.
It's not a bad thing. Criticism is always a good thing. Because criticism, if it's true, we can learn from it. And if it's not true, Jesus said, blessed are you when people are critical of you.
So okay.
Criticism is always a blessing.
Well, in the Alpha Team Training Manual, we read the following instruction. Stay facing the person you're praying for and ask the Holy Spirit to come. Welcome him when you see the signs of his working and wait on God as you pray for further direction. Understand that. Then, of course, it says, encourage the person to start to speak in another language. Tell him or her you will do so yourself. I guess I have a problem with that.
Well, I think you're probably looking at, I'm not sure that that's in the manuals, the current manuals, but I actually think it's fine. It's just that we changed the way that we put these things because we realized that these things were open to misunderstanding. So we've changed the way that we put that. But yes, we do pray for people to be filled with the Spirit, and we also believe that very often, as you look at the New Testament, you'll find that people received the gift of speaking in tongues when they received the Holy Spirit.
But is it a prerequisite?
No, it's not a prerequisite. We say this, that you can be a Christian and not speak in tongues. You can be filled with the Spirit and not speak in tongues. We don't believe there's any such thing as first-class Christians who speak in tongues and second-class Christians who don't.
But your training manual encourages people to start speaking in another language.
Speaking in tongues is not the most important gift of the Spirit. Paul often puts it at the bottom of the list.
Right.
On the other hand, in the book of Acts, as you know, on the five occasions where people were filled with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, on three of those explicitly we're told they received the gift of speaking in tongues. And of the other two, one is the Apostle Paul, who we know did speak in tongues, and the fifth one, it looked very similar to the day of Pentecost.
Right.
Now, on that basis, the Pentecostal church says it is the essential mark, or some Pentecostal churches say it is the essential mark of being filled with the Spirit. We're not in that position. We say that it's something that very often does happen, and we find it very often happens spontaneously. But sometimes people would like the gift of speaking in tongues, but they're quite shy about it.
Sure.
And it's quite hard to do it.
Yeah.
And one of the hardest things is to make the very first sound. And people have a sort of block about it. And one of the ways that Jackie Pullinger in Hong Kong taught us, helps people to do that, is simply to start speaking in tongues yourself and to get them initially just to help them to make the first sound, to copy what you're doing. And a number of people have been helped by that. But we wouldn't want to make it prescriptive, and that's why I think we've changed the later manuals, because it seemed to come across as rather prescriptive, and
right.
We didn't want that.
So Alpha has been modified or tweaked or fine-tuned over the years.
Oh, yes. We're changing it the whole time, because we're learning the whole time, and we're trying to improve it, and we're conscious that it's imperfect. We just don't know where it's imperfect.
Sure.
When we discover that it's imperfect, we try and change it and improve it.
That's admirable. I find that very admirable that you would be still at this point in your phenomena, and I know it's not yours, it's God's, but just bear with me, that you would remain teachable.
Goodness, we've got so much to learn, and we're learning so much all the time.
Are you going to be coming up with a video for spectators? Have you heard of that phrase? In other words, people are saying that Alpha really is for seekers, But then there's a group of people that are kind of further back. We would call them spectators. Do you think you guys will come out for something a little further back?
Yeah, well, no, we get a lot of people who would probably be in that category now coming on Alpha.
Do you?
Yeah, certainly in our own church we get hundreds of them, yes.
But you won't be coming out with something else new, another new...
No, well, we find this one resource in some remarkable way, I don't know how quite, it seems to work for people in all kinds of stages. Some people miles and miles away.
Yeah. Well, you could certainly come out with anything, and with the slick help of the marketing by David C. Cook Communications, it would be a success. You guys have absolutely taken the world by storm. Nikki Gumbel, you have given us an enormous amount of time on this very busy weekend here in Toronto, and I'll pray for you later today.
Thank you, Drew. Very much indeed. Very nice to speak to you.
Thank you for your time. Yeah, bye-bye. Well, Nikki Gumbel joining us here on the Drew Marshall Show. What's your experience with Alpha been like, folks? We're going to open up the phone lines, and then when we come back from this break, we'll chat with you. Have you had a good experience with Alpha? Would you recommend Alpha to somebody, or have you maybe had a bit of a negative experience? 905-338-1250. You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We'll be right back with your calls on Alpha right after this break.